chapter number 7. We're studying through this Old Testament book together. I'm going to read the opening 10 verses with you. When I read it, you're going to think that Solomon has fallen off his rocker. But the opposite is true. As a matter of fact, when you come to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, Solomon has turned the corner. And even though when we read this, you'll think to yourself, that doesn't sound right. In reality, what he's saying is what true biblical wisdom teaches us. And this has helped me this week. And I trust it'll help you. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 1, read with me together here. I'll read out loud. You don't read out loud with me, okay? A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. It's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. And let me pause here and just say, would you rather go to a funeral or go to a buffet? Solomon here says it's better to go to a funeral than to go eat a great meal. And by the time I'm done with this, you're going to agree with him. At least you should, because he's telling the truth here. Middle of verse number 2. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow's better than laughter. Really? Would you rather laugh or be brokenhearted? I'm telling you, I know where I'm going with this. For by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools in the house of mirth. It's better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity. Surely oppression maketh the wise man mad, and a gift destroyeth the heart. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. In verse number 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 5, verse 8, verse 10, there's a word used. And it's the word better. And this morning I want to preach to you on this subject, better things. Better things. Let me pray with you and I'll begin this message. Father, would you bless this service? Thank you for the Word of God. And I pray that you help me to do an accurate job explaining what you've already said. Help me never to be a preacher that adds to your Word or takes away from it. No. But Lord, help me to open the Word of God and preach what you've already told us. Give us a vibrant understanding of these verses. And may your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Consider your answers to these questions or these statements. I like laughter better than crying. I like weddings better than funerals. I like to think of my birthday better than to think of my death day. I like compliments better than criticism. I like the shortcut better than the long way around. I like the good old days better than the way things are now. Now, when you hear this, most people would agree with these declarative statements here. I mean, sure, who doesn't like laughter better than crying, and weddings better than funerals, and a birthday better than a death day, and compliments better than criticism, and shortcut better than the long way around, and the good old days better than the way it is now. But if you agree with those statements, you flunk the test here in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. Now, this is not a test, of course, but one we might devise based on the principles Solomon communicates in this section. Now, here's the key to what he teaches. Because this chapter is a chapter that he begins to talk about wisdom. Do we ever live in a day when we need God's wisdom? Amen or not? And this wisdom is found right here in all of these statements that seem like a paradox. It seems opposite of the way it should be, but it all centers around this word better. He's not teaching about things that are right and wrong in life. as much as he's talking about things that are better than other things. You know what the word better here means? It means more depth of wisdom. In other words, when he says the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth, he's saying wisdom can teach you more about life in death than it can in birth. Stay with me now. He's teaching us things that we often consider to be undesirable, Solomon says, are often better than the alternative. Difficulties, the hard road, death, mourning, life with these experiences. Now get this. Life with these experiences, death and mourning and the hard road and difficulties and sorrow, life with these experiences is better than life without them on this earth. Now thank God we're heading to a place where none of that stuff's going to be allowed. Can I get an amen there, please? But here on this earth, God is trying to teach us lessons. He's trying to teach us what life is really all about. And many times he does it with the things that we don't like. See, Solomon's fast lane living has come to an end. He has found out that it was only temporary. And when we come to Ecclesiastes, right here in chapter 7, Solomon is moving towards true wisdom and what life really is all about. Verse number 3 brings out a key to this as well, because in verse number 3 it says, sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance, here it is, the heart is made better. Solomon's saying this, your heart is made better by death more than it is by birth. Your heart is made better in sorrow more than it's made better in laughter. Now let's dig in here. Because these principles sound like it's just, how can that be true? But let's look at these things together. Number one, better things. The first one you would agree with, but it builds through itself in verse number one. Notice it. First of all, a good name is better than precious ointment. This is what the Word of God teaches. Now get this. Having a good name means to have honor. It means to have character. In other words, it's a person of integrity. Dr. Sexton said God's emphasis in His Word is for us to be right with Him and to live lives of integrity and decency. He will take care of our names in situations like this. See, there are many folks who are famous, who have been famous, who have lost their reputation and they've lost their good name, and they would give anything they have to regain a good name. Guard your good name. It's more precious. It's better than precious ointment. And back in this day, what that means is this. The precious ointment was very costly. It's like riches. And God's Word tells us here that to have a good name, a name when somebody hears your name, they think, that's a person of integrity. That's a person of character. They live a decent life. God says that's better than having all the riches of the world. Now stay with me here, because the next statement seems like, what does that mean? Notice it now, a continuation of this. A good name is better than precious ointment. Notice this, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Now what does that mean? Now, I'm telling you, listen now, ask God to help you get these statements, because He's driving home tremendous truths about what God's wisdom is trying to do in our life. See this next statement, that the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth, is a continuation of a good name is better than precious ointment. Here's the point. There are 2 days in life when a person's name is prominent. When they are born and when they die. What happens in between those 2 days determines whether their name is precious or a foul stench. If you die with a good name, your name can never be tarnished again. But when you're born, you have an entire life ahead of you in which the possibility exists for tarnishing your good name. And Solomon's saying this, when you have a good name, looking back on a good life at death is better than looking forward to an unknown name, an unproven life when you are born. Therefore, the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth for those who have a good name. Do you get it? And those who are on their way to heaven. And in that sense, the sorrow of death, in other words, somebody at their funeral, you walk by and say, man, we have lost God's champion. I mean, they've had such a tremendous testimony. Look at this man. Look at this lady. God used them. And when you think of their name, it's precious. Get this. The sorrow of death day is better than the laughter of birthday for a person who has a good name and is on their way to heaven. One man put it this way, everybody has a birthday and a death day. And it's on your death day that the substance of your life and the substance of your name is finalized. For this reason, Solomon teaches us that a good name is valuable and that your day of death is more significant than your day of birth. Wisdom, get it here, wisdom considers the end from the beginning. It filters present decisions through a long lens of far-reaching values. Over the long term, wisdom develops a good name and well-stewarded influence. Simply stated, wisdom desires that the celebration of your life, at the end, your death, the celebration of your... Wisdom desires that the celebration of your life will be greater than the celebration of your birth. Do you get it? Are you with me here? Are you with me here? Solomon's saying that if you have a good name, then the death day is better than the birthday because you made it. You finished strong. And the point here is make sure your name will make it to where when people come to your birth, I'm talking about your death day, that your good name carries through all eternity. Before we move on, let us ask ourselves, do I have a good name? Ask yourself, do you have a good name? And ask yourself, if you died right now and your casket was laid out right here and your earthly remains was laid out right here and we're getting ready to have a funeral, let me ask you a question. Is that better than the day you drew breath for the first time? There are many people throwing their lives away is what I'm saying. Everybody's equal at birth. Everybody has the same possibilities. Everybody can be saved. Everybody's loved of God. But so many people who are born, they live a life in such a way that they destroy their name. They wreck their life. They wreck their character. And for somebody like that, their birthday's better than their death day. But if you have a good name, your death day's better than your birthday. I'm going to tell you something, friends. That ought to be a little bit enough right there for you to stick it in your craw, whatever that means, and say, I'm going to finish right. I'm going to finish strong. And I want my death day to be better than my birth. Honestly, don't you? Don't you want your death day to be better than your birthday? Then have a good name. This is number one. See where we're going here, friends? All of these statements are like this. Number two, here we go. Look at verse 2 and 4, specifically verse number 2. It's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. Verse number 4 talks about the heart of the wise in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools in the house of mirth. What's he talking about here? Mourning is better than feasting. That's the second point. Mourning is better than feasting. Going to a funeral is better than going to a banquet. Now, I don't know about you. That doesn't sound right, does it? To our flesh. But when the wisdom of God is on display, God's wisdom tells us that going to a funeral is better than going to a banquet. Here's the point. In other words, it's better for us to visit a funeral than to visit a nice restaurant. There's nothing wrong with a nice restaurant. Amen. But you can learn more at a funeral. Amen or not, friends? He is saying that to look at death and to experience mourning will wake you up. It'll cause you to get serious about life. Had a funeral this week at the Gray Funeral Home during the fair. It's like chaos trying to get there. It's one of my relatives, a distant relative. He died suddenly, heart attack, mowing his yard this week. Terry Sales was his name. On my mom's side, she's a Sales. They called me and asked me to do the funeral, so I went down there. This was on Friday night. There was a holy hush came over that funeral home. Obviously there typically is. There's very little laughter and things like that at a funeral. Sometimes people deal with grief by laughing. But you understand what I'm saying to you. It's a very serious time. I got up and looked at some of my family members there, just distant relatives, some I don't even know all that well, but we're related. And I shared the gospel message. And I said, if you mean business, you're not playing games. You know you're a sinner and you believe Jesus died for you. He rose again. And you want to ask Him to come into your heart and forgive your sin. And you're not playing games. I mean, you mean business. Would you pray with me this prayer? And I prayed and asked Him to pray it silently in their seat. And I said, now if you prayed that with me and you meant business and you want to be saved and you're trusting Christ and Christ alone and you're serious about this, would you raise your hand? There's hands going up all over that funeral home. One of them was the man's daughter. She's one of my relatives. This is what Solomon's saying. It may be hard to lead those people to Christ sitting at the dinner table when life is on a mountaintop. Everything's going fine. They're cracking up, laughing, everything else, and there's a lot of food on the plate. You're sitting at a nice restaurant. It's kind of hard to lead people to Christ. But you get a family member that's went home. You get a family member that suddenly dies of a heart attack, and you get them to the funeral home, and God can work. That's what Solomon's talking about. And that's what God's wisdom does. God's wisdom speaks to us in times of heartache more than in times of happiness. Nothing wrong with being happy. God wants you to be full of the joy of Christ. But don't we have a more listening ear when things aren't well? Mourning is better than feasting. Third thing, verse number 3, sorrow is better than laughter. Aren't you glad you came to church today to hear how all these bad things are good for you, right? When I listen, when you preach through the Word of God, you just hit things as you get to them, and this is where we be right now. And this right here can help you now. It can help me too. You may be asking, how can sorrow be better than laughter? Because that's the verse that says it's through sorrow that the heart's made better. The heart is made better. This passage right here, it's not against laughing. It's not against rejoicing. It's not against celebrating or enjoying. It's simply contrasting what feels better against what makes us better. Do you hear what I just said? See, we think what's better for us is what feels better. Solomon's saying it's not the things that make you feel better that really makes you better. It's the things in life that you don't like that can really make you a better Christian. It's teaching us what develops and shapes the inner being. Everybody wants a better heart. But few want to pay the price required to shape a better heart. Now think with me. Think of the single most life-changing moment of your life. Think of it. Now you may have many, but just at least think of one that you say, that changed my life. You have it in your mind? You got it? Recall a time when you changed and grew and matured more than any other time in your life as a Christian. You grew during that time. You matured during that time. You got it in your mind? Almost certainly. Almost certainly, you're thinking of a hardship. I know I am. The tough times are the growing times. The tough times are the maturing times. Seasons of hardship shape us dramatically. Without God, hardship shapes us in bitterness. But with God, hardship shapes us in grace. Trials strengthen us like nothing else ever could. Suffering leads us to think more deeply. And when we allow God to develop wisdom in our lives through suffering, we value hardship and sorrow, though we may not enjoy it. Wisdom causes us to view the down days as developing days. Don't you see? There's a canyon between enjoying something and valuing something. Valuable things are not always enjoyable things. And light things are rarely life-shaping things. See, a person who laughs all the time, they're denying reality. Now, I like to be around a happy-go-lucky person. I get it. But somebody that they just laugh all the time, they are denying reality. Life on earth is not a party, friends. It is not a party. There are plenty of times to laugh. Amen. Aren't those great times? Yes. Solomon's not preaching against laughter. He loved to laugh. You love to laugh. But folks, he's saying sorrow is better than laughter, because it's when you're brokenhearted that God can speak to you about what life is all about. This is what he's saying. There's plenty of time to laugh and rejoice, but there are also many times to mourn and weep. Preacher said this. He said, I know the deepest growth in my life occurred during the 10 years in which cancer was a part of my vocabulary. I'm quoting. He said, I couldn't have learned what God taught me any other way. A.W. Tozier said, God cannot use a man until he's hurt him deeply. I don't know what that means. I don't want to find out. But great men and women are shaped by pain. Man's highest purpose is not to be happy, but to know God. And we know God the best when we face things we cannot do without Him. Amen? When you face something that you know, if God does not help me, I can't. And then He steps in. And He teaches you that when your heart was hanging outside your chest, that sorrow in the end was better than the time you were crying, you were laughing so hard, because God proved Himself to you. Troubles cause all of us to stop the routine and ask more serious questions about life. For that reason, sorrow is better than laughter. Dr. Clarence Sexton put it this way: many of us could mark the time and place when something tragic was used of God to change us. Some people think that life should just be one big party. I'm quoting him, but this is not what the Bible teaches. He said, I know men who have suffered heart attacks whose lives have been changed because of their physical calamities. They can look back and say, I thank God for the heart attack. It made me come to my senses about something. He goes on to say, God may use any incident in life. It may be an automobile accident. It may be a sickness of a child. That's what it was in my life. It may be a sickness of a child. It may be your own downfall. It may be some sorrow God reached down and pulled you out of it. It calls you to look back and say, there was something in my life causing sorrow to touch my heart, and God got a hold of me. Folks, I don't know what all you've gone through. I know what some of you have gone through. Some of you all humble me with how you've handled the hardships of life. And I know there are some things that some of you all have gone through that you wish to God you'd go back and change. I'm going to tell you something. Somehow, some way, the wisdom of God, when He sends hardship, He is trying to do something better in our life. I cannot explain it. That doesn't mean He's in every hardship, you understand. We bring some of these things on ourselves. But God uses sorrow many times even more than He uses laughter. This is number three. Thought about stopping there. I'm not going to. I'm having a good time today. Number four, verses 5 and 6. Rebuke is better than praise. Rebuke from a wise man is better than the song of fools. Do you see that? What does that mean? You know, we normally resist the pain of a rebuke. Somebody look at you and say, you're not right in that. Hey, if you don't change your way, this is going to happen to you. Listen to me now. We normally resist the pain of a rebuke, but Solomon says rebuke from a wise man is far better than the songs of fools. He likens the praise of a fool, look at it now, to the crackling of thorns in a fire. This is an illustration from life in biblical days. See, when a short burst of heat was needed in a fire, branches from a thorny plant would be thrown on the fire because they flamed up so quickly and intensely. But thorns would never be used for a fire you wanted to last a long time. In other words, if you want a fire that lasts a long time, you didn't use thorns. Well, if you want something quick, intense, poof, and it's gone, here's what Solomon's saying. That's what the songs of fools are. That's what somebody who praises you all the time is like. All they're trying to do is just, everything's great. But that's not going to last forever, friends. In other words, the praise of fools is intense, but it's temporary. Whereas the rebuke of a wise man has long-lasting benefits. The point here is when a wise man rebukes you, it's far better than someone who simply who just simply flatters you no matter what's going on in your life. The laughter of fools is only a crackling of thorns. It makes much noise, but there's no benefit. The laughter of fools only fills the air with sound that's empty and meaningless. Like what one preacher said, he said, Solomon says to be more interested in the rebuke of someone who's wise, a person who loves you, than the songs and strokes of a person who's insincere. If you practice this principle for a lifetime, you will reap the permanent benefits of wisdom and avoid the downfalls of flattery. Solomon is saying, a fool's song may be more pleasant, but a wise man's rebuke is more useful. Solomon teaches us that wisdom reviews rebuke as valuable. Here's the point. If you have a friend who will hurt you to help you, you are blessed indeed. Did you hear what I just said? If you have a friend who will hurt you to help you, that is wisdom from God. By the way, parents, that's what we are to our children. There are too many parents who want to be buddy-buddy with their kids, and they know that if they don't get a handle on that, it will wreck their life as an adult. But some people, I'm afraid I'm going to lose them. I'm afraid I'm going to lose them. That's how you lose them. You've got to be a rebuker to rebuke them when you know, hey, who loves your kids more than you do? Nobody, I hope. And if you really love them, you rebuke them. Amen. I've been rebuked in my life multiple times. Let me tell you one person who's rebuked me. My wife. Amen. It's not been often. Honestly, it hasn't. Because I'm that close to being perfect. But anyway, several times. Now, when I say several, we've been married 18 years. I can count this probably on one hand or less. She always prays before she comes to me. But I cannot tell you how often in those times she set me down. Some of you say, boy, I wish I'd like to have seen that, Pastor. She set me down and she'll say, I've noticed something and I want to help you with something. At first in my flesh, I'm like, you're kidding. I didn't tell her that, but you're kidding, right? You know? Every time she's come to me, God followed her and said, she's right. Every time. You may tell you one reason I'm willing to listen to my wife, because she can beat me up. No, I'm just kidding with you on that. You may tell you why I'm willing to listen to her rebuke, because I know she loves me. And I know she's not trying to hurt me. I know she's trying to make me better. If you've got somebody like that in your work, or your mate, or a friend, Solomon says that is much better than a fool who just sings all the time. You're great, There's no problems. You're wonderful. And in their heart, they know that that's hurting you. You follow me here? Solomon is saying, this rebuke is better than praise. Two more. Are you with me? Two more. Here we go now. The next one. By the way, Proverbs 27:5 says, open rebuke is better than secret love. Now, folks, listen to me. Don't somebody take this and say, well, you heard the preacher. Now, let me set you down and tell you what you need to do today, okay? No. You make sure God's in it. Amen, right? Proverbs 17:10 says, a reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. Major lesson number 5 here, verses 7 through 9. The end is better than the beginning. My understanding of this is considering the end of something is better than just starting it. In other words, it's better to focus on where it will lead you before you begin the journey in the first place. What will be the results of my actions? What will be the outcome of my deeds? You know, Satan always puts his best up front. But God saves his best for last. Did you hear what I just said? The immediate and initial impact of alcohol, the immediate and initial impact of drugs and illicit sex and all can be exciting on the front end. But the end is better than the beginning. See what he's saying? Consider if you do this, what's the end of it? Because the beginning can be great and the ending can be terrible. Make sure that what you begin, when you get to the end, you look back and say, amen. The end is better than the beginning. A person who ends well did so because he made wise choices on the front end. When we consider this, it should lead us to be patient in spirit, not proud in spirit that leads to anger, verses 8 and 9. Here's the question. Are you living a life to where the end will truly be better than the beginning? You with me on that? And I'm moving forward. If you're not, I'm going to go back to point number 1. Are you with me on that one? And I'm moving forward. Amen. I thought I'd get a grunt out of you there, right? Let me give you a final one. I'm done. Verse number 10. Let's read it and I'll show you what he means. Say not thou, what is the cause of the former days were better than these? But thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. Here's the final point of this passage. Now is better than then. Could I be talking to somebody that wishes you were back in the good old days? Could I be talking to somebody that says, boy, I tell you, times are terrible. If we could just go back to the good old days. God says this, today's better than the good old days. Say, what's that mean? Let me explain it. Solomon says it's not wise to say the past days are better than the present days. In other words, it's better to live life now and not get stuck in the good old days gone by. Those days appear good only to those who are not, I'm talking about who are trying to avoid living in the present. Dr. Clarence Sexton puts it this way. Solomon says the temptation is to retreat to the former days. It's impossible. Sometimes we're so paranoid about the present and so fearful about the future that the only safe place to live is the past, but that's not God's way. You have a rearview mirror in your automobile. But if you try driving forward while looking in the rearview mirror, you will end up in the hospital or dead. It doesn't work that way. Look here, please. Neither does life. We cannot live every day of our lives looking backward. I can throw many nows right now. I can throw many of those away by living in the past or fearing the future. The point here in verse number 10, that now is better than then, don't miss the gift of today. Leave the past. Live in the present. Look forward to the future. The prime of life is any time in life when we are in the center of God's will. What is it that has your mind so occupied? that you are throwing today away. You know, the devil can get you so living in the past so much, well, it's just not the way it used to be. Look at the good old days and look at the terrible mess today. Hey, it's great to be alive today. God wants you to live life to the fullest. There can be so many people who take people for granted in the past and worry about the future that they forget to hold each other today. Now, Solomon is turning the corner. I'm glad he is. Because I'll be honest with you, I was kind of getting over his mess about, well, just life is vanity and vexation of spirit. And I fooey on that stuff. But now God's wisdom is on display. And he tells us, these great thoughts today, a good name, is better than precious ornament. And if you have a good name, the day of your death is better than the day of your birth. He tells us in this passage of Scripture that mourning, going to a funeral, is better than going to a banquet. He tells us, number three, that sorrow, brokenness, heartache, is better than laughter. He tells us that rebuke from a wise man is better than praise from a fool. He tells us the end of something is better than the beginning of it, so consider what you're doing and make sure the end is better than the beginning. And now is better than then. This is the message. And even though it kind of rubs us in the wrong way, how can that be? Can you not see that what Solomon's saying is the truth? Let us learn these lessons and be filled with the wisdom of God. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Shall we? Father, would you bless this? Thank you for these dear people coming to church this morning. And I pray that you'll help us to draw the net. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're following the Lord in believer's baptism, we have one today. Now's your time to go, okay? Right now's your time to go and get prepared for baptism. I wanted today, as God speaking to your heart, I wanted today, as we consider these thoughts, are you 100% sure that you're going to heaven? Have you trusted Jesus Christ and Christ alone? Do you know without a doubt that today, if you died, you'd wake up in the presence of Jesus? Or I wonder today, is there one among us that does not know for sure that heaven's your home? As a matter of fact, if you're here, as they begin to play through softly, if you're here and you say, I am not sure that heaven is my home. I do not have that assurance. I do not have that peace in my heart. If you're here today and you say, pray for me, I'm not even sure I'm a Christian. Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? Anybody at all? You say, pray for me, I'm not even sure I'm saved. Not even sure I'm born again. Let me ask you this question. Do you have a good name? Do you need to learn from the funeral of somebody? Is God trying to teach you through sorrow? Are you responding well to a biblical rebuke? Is there somebody that you need to lovingly rebuke? Do you need to consider the end of something that maybe you're in the middle of? And I wonder, are you missing God's gift of today? I wonder if God is speaking to you. If he's used this message. I'll tell you what we need. We need wisdom from God to know when that's God's wisdom trying to teach us a hard lesson. Or if that's just our flesh trying to beat us up. And in this passage, Solomon is giving some wonderful nuggets of truth. And may we learn them. And learn them well. Why, Brother Gary, to begin to sing. And if God is speaking to you, would you come? Let us take a Bible, share the gospel with you. The altar's open for those who want to join the church, those who are coming to get something right with God, or just coming to pray. As Brother Gary sings, you come. Would you do that, please? You come now, please.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow.
Do the announcement, you want me to announce what? All right, thank you. You may look this way. Let me give you a couple of quick announcements. We'll have our offering, our baptismal service. Remind those men that had signed up for our golf tournament that has been moved now to September the 29th. And we do need you to sign up again if you would. And I know some of those teams will change. Also, ladies' retreat. Today is a deadline. We only have room for about 10 more ladies. And today is it. And you don't want to miss it. It's a great time of fellowship. And let me encourage you, if you are new in our church, this is a great chance to get to know some other ladies and to build relationships, and that'll really help you here in the ministry. And then, of course, the big announcement is 2 weeks from today is Friend Day. Hope you're handing out all those Friend Day flyers. They gave out hundreds of them at the fair. We start Revival with Dr. Ron Comfort that day, and we're getting serious now, okay? We're 2 weeks out. It's time to do it. And so let me encourage you, let's be faithful. If you handed out a lot of cards and you want to make sure we get record of that, make sure you fill out the card, put it in the box there in the lobby. But folks, if we don't invite them, they're not going to come. And we've got to be busy praying and inviting folks. Some of you have unsaved loved ones. Let's get them out here September the 9th. And you remember, this is the part I always tell people they always love. I'll give them a free hamburger and a free hot dog. We'll take care of them. Get them here. Invite them. Let's have a great day that day. See a lot of folks saved. Great attendance on September the 9th. Okay, gentlemen, come. We'll take the offering at this time. Or we'll receive the offering. We're not going to take it. All right. That wording is important. All right. Lord, we do thank you for Michael, who's about to be baptized. Pray that you would help him, Lord, to walk in newness of life. Thank you for this great insight from the Word of God. And the Lord, help us to be people who are willing to go through the difficult times to be shaped and to be made more like you. And thank you for the offering that's about to be given. Give those in leadership wisdom in using it for the glory of God and the kingdom of God, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
accept the air with faith.